to Edge Tech, where we keep you up to speed on the latest in technological innovations in the field of education. Edge Tech, keeping you on the edge of technology and the edge of your seat.
Good afternoon, I'm John Wedman, and this is Edge Tech. I've got an interview lined up here with Lucy in St. Charles, Missouri. Let's see if we can get her on the phone. There we go. I need an automatic dialer so I don't have to plug all that in. She told me it would be music and not the freak. Lucy, this is John Wedman. You're on Edge Tech.
Hi.
How'd you select that song for your answer?
Oh, that's a feature of my phone service.
There you go.
Caller tune.
That's fun. Well, I'm looking here at some information about you. You're a doctoral student.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you've also been, or you are, a corporate accountant. And originally from Chicago, you like playing video games, martial arts, and rock climbing, among many other interests.
Yes.
Wow. You're busy.
Yes, I am very much so busy.
Yeah, you like being busy.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, now, you know, this is a show about technology. You've got some ideas about using technology in teaching and learning and education in general?
Oh, yeah. I love these. Like, I teach a couple of courses for the university.
Okay.
And it's all based on technology. Most of it's offered through WebCT. So I really love the idea of, like, smart boards and having students, like, use simulation programs because I think that's the best way that they can learn is give them, like, real problem-solving, you know, activities and have them go at it and see if they can get it because in the business world, it's pretty much, you know, not everything's the same, and so I think if students have, you know, the technology that can show them that every situation could be different, I think it's just better learning experience in general.
Okay. Well, can you give me an example of one specific thing you're doing tied to technology?
Oh, I use this program called Hot Dog.
What?
It's the Hot Dog program. It's a simulation of letting students run their own hot dog program. When I used to field in local high school, they had this program where they actually used a simulation and every student in the class had their own little hot dog stand in this computer program.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they try to, and they're throwing everything at them. I think it's the best way that they learn because it's just, they can kind of see what's going on and, you know, unexpected things happen, like, you know, the refrigerator freezes and things that they just, you don't see or you don't read in the textbook. It's something that you have to experience. And I really like how technology really lets them experience things without actually having it fall back on them. Like in, like, you know, the real world, they don't have to spend the money. They can kind of see, they can budget for it.
Yeah, the whole idea of a simulation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I just did a Google search on hot dog game, and I don't know if this is the same one or not, but one of them talks about hot dog mobile phone Java game. Do you know if that's available through your phone?
I do not know. I have a lot of I've got a lot of games on my phone. I have so many games on my phone right now. I don't have the internet technology on my phone, so I can be emailing people from my phone.
Right. Yeah. Do you live and breathe by your phone?
Pretty much. I live and breathe by my phone. I have my caller tunes, my my games, my email. Actually, I love it. My email sends me a text message every time I have an email, so I know when to check my email.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So if people are trying to get a hold of me, I know how to get a hold of them.
Yeah, yeah. So you use technology for simulations to bring the outside world into your class.
Mm-hmm.
How do the kids react to that? And what age group are we talking? Are these adults?
Well, some will actually. I use it as a range from, I guess, juniors in high school to pretty much I teach seniors in college. So
okay.
It's wide range. They really like it. I mean, at all age. I mean, you have to vary the difficulty at each level. But really, they really like it because the younger kids can kind of see what they're learning on in class, and the older students can be like, oh, wait a minute, I forgot that could happen. So I use it at a range of different ages.
Mm-hmm. Now, is everybody in the classroom at the same time when you're doing this, or are they scattered all over the world?
The classes I teach, they're in the classroom at the same time. However, we do actually, since there's like limited computers in the high school, there was limited computers, so only a certain group is on the computers at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of do groups of it. So, I mean, you have to take it as you leave it. And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Budget cuts and everything, you can't really have to, I guess, you know, work with it.
Yeah, yeah. But whenever you, it sounds like you stay on top of technology, not just computer technology, but cell phones and so on. I'm wondering what technology you see on the horizon that's looking promising.
I kind of like the new iPod Nano.
Yeah, what do you like about that?
Because it's kind of, you can kind of save things. It's small, it's less expensive than the regular iPod.
Right.
But you can go ahead and it's got the same features as the regular iPod, so you can download photos. So if you don't want to have a digital camera around, but if you want to show people your photos, you can show it to them. They have music, photos. You can download, I think, files to it now. I'm not sure what you can download to it. I have one. I haven't tried it. I also like, they've got these new cell phones out now that I guess it's got, I think it's maybe like GPS something technology with them. I'm not sure. I read a paper on them.
Right.
And these phones, I guess, are supposed to be like the wave of the future, and they're hoping people will catch on to them. I guess you can have like, you can send it to printers and have all these different applications on there, and now you can download things on the phone, like listen to, watch TV and watch videos on the phone too. So
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that's going to be the new wave, but I'm thinking it's going to cause maybe a problem in classrooms because students are going to be whipping out their phones or their nanos, and you can kind of keep them in your pocket since you never know if they're listening to them or what they're doing. So
yeah, well, it's one of those things, though, that you can either compete with it or you can take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah. I think if you use it, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, I was listening to and taking some notes as you were describing these, and I'm thinking about the important features that you mentioned. Portability.
Mm-hmm.
You can both use it as an output device and as an input device.
Mm-hmm.
That you can record things on your iPod,
mm-hmm.
Nano. It's multimedia. So it's not just audio or images. It's lots of different types of output. And then convergence, where it's merging with cell phone technology and so on. So I just have to start thinking about what's going to be, are there going to be new technologies, do you think, or do you think it's going to be recombining for the main of existing technologies in new ways?
I think they're going to combine them, the existing technologies in new ways to make them new, if that makes any sense. Like,
uh-huh.
take two good ideas, bring them together, and have a better idea.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen. I don't see anything as, per se, new coming out. I see very great variations on existing products.
Yeah. That's kind of my perception as well. That there's so many fantastic combinations of existing technology. If we go that route, not only we get new things in one respect, but it keeps the cost down.
Oh, yes.
I read an article the other day how what NASA is doing with the next space shuttle, but it won't even be a space shuttle. I'm not sure what they call it. But rather than putting all their money into new technologies, they're taking lots of tested technologies and assembling them to reduce the cost and to increase the reliability so that whenever our space program really gets back on its feet again and going revisiting the moon and Mars and beyond, that the likelihood of success is increased.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Now, hey, I was wondering, I've got about 4 minutes left here, 5 minutes. I wanted to ask you three on-the-edge questions. Are you ready for these?
Okay.
If you could tell future teachers one thing related to technology, what advice do you have for them?
Don't ignore it. Ignoring technology is going to be your worst nightmare because if you're going to be preparing your students to go out in the workforce, you know, technology is going to be there, so might as well use it and show them how to use it because it's just going to make you more successful and your students more successful.
Yeah. It's your worst nightmare. I like that. If you ignore it, you've got your worst nightmare. Now, you work in schools as well as in higher ed and in industry, so you've really got a broad perspective on things. Pull all that together and tell me what you would tell principals and superintendents related to technology.
Talk to the businesses and find out what they're using because not every business is using the technologies that you're using. So talk to you want to talk to the community and really get their input as to what they think is important. There's so much technology out there, and with the limited resources of schools, might want to see what everybody's using and use that because you're going to make your students more successful and it's going to be more better.
Who would you talk to? Would you talk to other schools or would you get out of that context or add to that context and talk with businesses?
I would talk to both schools and businesses, see what other schools are using, and also, more importantly, talk to the businesses because they're the ones that are using the technology. I mean, we're teaching students to use technology so that they can use it in the workforce and use it to better their lives. And I think it's more important. I mean, if that's the goal, is to produce students that are going to be in the workforce, talk to the workforce. I mean, they're the ones that are using it, so.
Yeah. They're out there. They're on the firing line. And of course, there's always a challenge if you prepare people to use today's technologies, and by the time they get there to the workforce, then it's technology's changed.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess maybe that's part of it. Yeah, to avoid that nightmare, don't avoid it. Don't ignore it.
Yeah.
Well, the last on-the-edge question I've got for you, and this is for people like me that are working to prepare the next generation of teachers and future principals and superintendents. What advice do you have for us about fulfilling our goals?
Don't stop communicating with us. If one person's going to ignore you, continue to go on with the other people because you will make a difference. And, I mean, I know that some teachers try to ignore technology and it can be disheartening. My suggestion is just to keep on doing what you're doing because eventually the message will get across.
Good advice. That's good advice. Let's see, what are you going to do when you finish your degree? You're going to stay involved in teaching? You're going to go into higher ed? What's your goal?
My goal is to eventually go into like higher ed administrative, working on my PhD in educational leadership and policy analysis.
Right.
So I want to work on policy and perhaps maybe, you know, lobbying on Congress or something like that to, you know, really help education for everybody.
Okay. You know, this Saturday at the MU campus, we've got a forum on No Child Left Behind Act.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're going to be in town Saturday, but I think, I think it's like 9 to 1 or something like that. They've got some national speakers coming in to talk about this. And we're going to have some people from our journalism school there. They're going to mediaize it, so to speak, and then we'll take components of it, make it available as a podcast. And we're talking about having a webcast series to follow it to extend the conversation. So if you're looking for something to do, want to drive over from St. Charles to Columbia, that'd be something to justify your time.
Great.
Lucy, where'd I get Amy? That was my earlier interview. Lucy, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with me. Your interview is going to be available at the EdgeTech Archive in a few days, and once it's there, we'll notify you, and you listen to it. You like it, you can tell your friends to listen in, okay?
Great. Thank you.
All right. Well, goodbye for now.
All righty. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. I'm John Wedman, and this is EdgeTech. Thank you.
Sisselcast Interactive Webcasting, a production of the School of Information Science and Learning Technologies at the University of Missouri-Columbia. For more information, check edgetech.missouri.edu.